Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 reads this way. Jesus speaking, saying, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, once again asking your blessing on your word, Lord, on the service tonight, on our hearts and minds, that you might guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask that you strengthen the faith that you've given to us, and Lord, that you would empower our lives to be the witnesses that you've called us to be of your grace and your glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise for that. We also ask that you bless the young people and the workers in the back there as they minister to them, that they might be reached for your honor and glory, and that they might grow and pick up the baton, Lord, of the faith that you've given to us to carry it forth. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply "The Lord's Promise to Be with His Church Always." The Lord's Promise to Be with His Church Always. Now, I do want to share this. I know I preached from this not too long ago, within the last week for sure, but this is important. I think that what is happening here is people do not understand the process or the program of God's purpose in moving the gospel forward. And so I think tonight as we consider these truths that we'll look at here, we'll see that they reveal how important the Lord's church is to Jesus. I mean, it's his bride. It's important. It's not just this kind of flippant idea. Hey, they need to go to church, you know. No, listen, it's his bride. And so it's important. If a man is in his right mind and he's married, his bride is important to him, right? And so God, listen, when you stop and think about the bride, and you think about it being the church, it's very important. God, listen, Jesus Christ gave himself for the church, and he is committed to the church, right? Just as a husband would be committed to his wife in a good relationship. Now, if a husband was in a good relationship with his wife, and his wife was making dinner, would he go eat next door? Would he go eat at some other house? Would he maybe just make his way around to eating with his wife just once a week? See, this is important. A lot of people think, well, I'll just go to this church this week, and I'll just go to that church this week, and, oh, well, this church is having a function, so I'll go over there. You'll never find that in the Word of God. Fellowship is good, but the church is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a social gathering. It's his bride, and it's his body. And God has given some promises that are important concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say that again. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his church. We're part of it. We can say it's our church in a sense of that's the church that I belong to. But let us never forget that it was the Lord's idea in eternity past to bring forth the church that would propagate the gospel. So Jesus promised to be with his church to the end of the world. Do you believe that? Okay, and Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, participating himself in the first church ordinance. Do you believe that? Amen? He also instituted the Lord's Supper with his church before going to the cross. Do you believe that? All right. Okay, not only that, but remember, Jesus told the church, he said, listen, he told it to the church, he didn't tell it to the apostles, but he commanded the church to observe it till he returns, the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper. He instituted that before he went to the cross. So he participated in both of those ordinances during his earthly ministry. He was baptized, and he instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples before he went to the cross. So, and then, by the way, he said, "This do in remembrance of me till I come." That's important. He says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me till I come. So Jesus gave this command to the church till he comes, or else Jesus wouldn't have said until I come. Right? He says, I want you to do it till I come. I don't want you to just do it for a set time, but until he returns. So listen, if he told the church, if he gave the church a command till he comes again, think about this now. Does that mean that he would also see to it that the church was in existence until he would return again? Do you follow the thought there? He gave a commandment to the church to do this until he comes again. That only stands to reason that Jesus would see to it that his church would be in existence to perform what he commanded until he returns. This is important. And listen, a lot of people don't understand this important truth, and therefore they take church just very flippantly. In fact, the truth is churches are dying. They're going out of existence. There may be less believers, or maybe there may be not as many committed believers to propagate the gospel, to hand down the truth to the next generation, and so it's being lost. For one reason or another, I think God's people need to return back to the Lord, but the Lord will prepare for himself a bride amongst the believers that are in his local New Testament churches, and from there he will also select his bride. And they will remain until he returns. And the only reason why I know that, and the only reason why I can say that with certainty, is because the Lord said it. He said, I want you to do this until I come again. Okay, until I return. In fact, I want you to see something here as we consider our text here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. This verse here also refers to the, indestructibility of the Lord's church. Notice what it says here again in verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and he's speaking of himself, I will build my church. Listen to this. And the gates of hell, the governments of hell, shall not prevail against it. That means that it's indestructible. That means Satan will not destroy it. It will remain till the Lord comes back. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't go through trials and tribulations, but it will remain. How can God say that? How can he? Because he's the one that holds it in his hands. He is the one that protects and guards it so that it will remain. Okay, so we find here that also we'll take a look at here in just a moment. Well, let me ask you this. Are there any other verses that would reveal to you and I that the church will remain throughout all the ages? Is there any other verses may come to mind? Before we get to that, keep that thought in mind. We'll get to it. I want you to consider this, and that is that the kingdom of God also is to be perpetuated until the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Okay? And you might say, well, where are you getting that, Brother George? I am so glad you asked. Turn with me over to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. That's the last book of the Bible, and I know you know that. The book of Revelation, chapter 11, and I want you to see that here in verse 15, okay? Revelation 11, verse 15. And here's what it says in Revelation 11, 15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So that's coming right out of the Word of God. Remember, we spoke about the kingdom on earth and the kingdom in heaven, and how Paul said, you know, God's going to make me part of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so this is important. Now, what about this kingdom? Well, we see right here it's going to be forever and ever, but look, go over to the book of Luke just for a moment, chapter 1. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, look at verse 32. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. Of his kingdom there will be no end. There shall be no end, all right? So we have this longevity here, this eternal purpose of God concerning his kingdom, by the way, and also of his church. So the kingdom of God is to be perpetuated, listen how it works, by the disciples of Christ sharing the gospel, and when someone is saved, God places them into the kingdom of God. They're in the kingdom of God. They're in even the, in the family of God. But now, in order to be part of the church of God, you must have scriptural baptism. I say that's important. You must have scriptural baptism. You cannot sprinkle. And it must be, listen, can the Jehovah's Witness baptize and it be scriptural? Can the Mormons baptize? You know, the Mormons baptize for the dead all the time. But does God acknowledge that? Can we say that God acknowledges the Mormon church to be part of his and they have authority? If you have Mormon baptism, you have the wrong baptism, because the Mormon church teaches that Jesus Christ is not deity. And the Mormon church teaches that Jesus Christ and Satan are brothers. And that is blasphemous, especially when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." There are no others. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So is the Lord's church important? And is anything that calls itself a church the church? No. It has to be following and in keeping with the Word of God and with the ordinances of the church. And we have to see those as being important. And I dare say, in the day and age in which we live, it's really unfortunate that a lot of people are missing out on what church is all about. Well, I'll just join any old church and serve God there. You better seek the Spirit of God first and say, "God, where would you have me? Lord, where is it that you want me to?" Where? Because it's God in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that says he sets us in his church. He places us in his church. So it's important to the Lord, and he has a place for each and every one of us. He's not left us alone to wander. He says, I've got a plan for your life. And if you seek me, you'll what? You'll find me. I'll place you. If you really want my will for your life, I'll show you. I will reveal it to you. So this is important. And the reason why it's important is because the authority of the gospel was given to the church by the Lord himself. So again, remember what happened. He ordered that the church would be in existence during his earthly ministry. He participated in baptism, the first ordinance, and then he also instituted the Lord's Supper. Those are the two ordinances of the Lord's local New Testament church. Now, do those things save us? No, we do those because we are saved. And so that's important too. So there are so-called assemblies. That's what the word ecclesia means. It's a called out assembly. So technically there are other churches besides the Lord's church. But the Lord has his church, and there are other assemblies that call themselves the Lord's church that are not the Lord's church, that believe that baptism and participating in the Lord's Supper has to do with your salvation. I mean, you see it in the movies all the time. Somebody running over to the deathbed of somebody, "Here, hurry up, take the Lord's Supper." Right? Or they call it communion. That ought to be a good clue right there, because the Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. You'll never find the word communion in the Word of God. But they believe it to be part of your eternal salvation. And you'll never find that in the Word of God. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not sharing this with you today to insult other organizations that claim to be the Lord's church. I share this with you because there are people, in fact, God's people in God's churches that don't know the difference. They don't know what the difference is. They just I just happen to be in this one until I decide otherwise. Right? Now, unless the Lord's moving, I would really be careful about just going anywhere. Because that's kind of slipping away, really, and doing my own thing instead of, "Lord, where do you want me? What is it that you would have for me to do?" All right. So with that thought, we're going to look at two more portions of Scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Back up a little bit. And again, this is before Pentecost. That's Pentecost. That's before the empowering of the church. But the church is in existence. Just because it's not been empowered by the Holy Spirit does not mean that it's not in existence. Don't get that confused in Acts chapter 2. Because if not, then the Great Commission has not been given to the church, and it died with the apostles, and that cannot be. So Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, and the apostles there, saying, listen to this, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Did you see that? That's important. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. That covers everything. Go ye therefore. Why? Why therefore? Because all power has been given to him. And so he is commissioning the church, the Great Commission, with his authority. Does the Jehovah's Witness have that authority? Do the Mormons have that? Do the Church of Christ? No, they don't have that. And so we need to be careful. Listen, do the Methodists have that? Do the Lutherans have that? No, because you can trace their founder to a man. Martin Luther, the Wesley brothers. That is not, listen, those churches came into existence after the Great Commission. Those churches do not have the Great Commission. I mean, that's just as plain as, listen, that might be shocking, but I'm convinced, there's no doubt in my mind, that is the truth. Because Jesus Christ said, I'll build my church, not John Wesley. He said, I'll build my church, not Martin Luther. By the way, they call it the Protestant Reformation. They protested and they wanted to reform a church that came into existence illegitimately. In fact, the Bible talks about a certain church being, or a group being, the mother of harlots. In other words, she birthed a lot of illegitimate children. And they're all going back to her. And you will see, if you look, the Anglican Church came out of the Catholic Church. You know why? Because King Henry VIII was excommunicated because he was having these multiple marriages and then killing them when they weren't having male children. So the Catholic Church says, we're kicking you out, Henry VIII. And he says, okay, fine, I'm done with you guys. I'll start my own church. And there you have the Anglican Church. I'm not trying to be unkind, but that is just history. That is just exactly what has happened. Now, I dare say what I'm sharing tonight would not be very favorably looked upon because I am discriminating. I am differentiating from groups of people. Well, let me differentiate a little bit more. All those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ do not have eternal life. They have eternal death. I didn't do that. The Lord did. I didn't start the church either. And you ought to be glad of it, because if I did, you better go somewhere else. But it's the Lord that did this. All right, so let's look what happens here. So because of this authority, he says, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Listen to this. I mean, if the church is not in existence, why is he telling them to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost? There's the ordinance of baptism right there. Not only that, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Did he not command them to observe the Lord's Supper and to do that in remembrance of him until he comes? He told them to do that, and so they were to teach that. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Isn't that good? All the way to the end. All the way to the end. I'm not saying they won't use nuclear weapons. I'm just saying we're not going to blow ourselves up with nuclear weapons, because that's not God's plan. We will not annihilate ourselves. It won't work. It won't happen. Because Jesus Christ is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives one day again. Is he not? Okay. So we can't destroy ourselves. It's going to be there. You know how the world looks at religion? The world looks at religion down its nose. If I was to share this on a news station today, they'd look down at my news, down at their nose at me, and they'd say, really? You really believe that? And I would say, yes, I do. Because I've got news for you. If you think we're going to annihilate ourselves, God would do the same thing and say, really, you think that's going to happen? My son's coming again. And every eye is going to see him. So How does that fit in your picture? And I'll just tell you this. I would rather believe his story, God's, than what man might say. Because I dare say this, man doesn't know what he's talking about. Man says, hey, listen, you'll find happiness over here. Hey, you'll find, if you'll do this, you'll be, we used to call gay happy. You'll be gay. You'll be happy. We wouldn't want to say that today. But they use that terminology trying to fool themselves and everybody else that they think that that's a happy lifestyle. No, I'll tell you, there's more misery and more woe in that than we even know. Why? Because God says it's an abomination and he won't bless it. And you might be able to exist without the blessings of God, but I'll tell you what, you're not going to be happy. It won't be a happy thing. All right, ready? So one more place. Go over to the book of Ephesians, and this is important. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll finish up here. I'm going to read one verse first. And again, this has the idea that the Lord gave the authority of the gospel to the church by the Lord himself, and he promised to keep the church, right? And so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, the last verse of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, it says this, unto him be glory in the church. And that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, right? Throughout all ages, world without end, in case we didn't understand what he meant by throughout all the ages. World without end. And then he finishes it by saying amen. Now watch this. Let's back up just for a moment to verse 14. And I want you to see what Paul is trying to encourage the Ephesian believers. Did God know we were going to be here tonight? God was also wanting to encourage you and I with this. Listen to this and see how much of the salvation that God has given to you is the work of God. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think Paul had occasion and cause to praise the name of God? Absolutely. Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. We talked about that, right? The family of God in heaven and in earth. That he would grant you, the believer, he wants to, listen, this is Paul's prayer, not just for the Ephesian church. It is specifically, but it's in the canon of Scripture, so it's for all saints throughout all ages. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Did you see that? God, that's God's plan for your life, by his capital S, Holy Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, in case we wondered, all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's God's plan for all saints, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I think we sell God short sometimes. It has to be by faith. What is faith? I'm trusting God for that. I'm not trying to produce it. I'm trusting God has given that. Amen? And I'm going to walk in that. So God has indwelt me with the Lord Jesus Christ as he has you as a saved child of God. So I don't have to concentrate, okay, be kind, be gentle, be all these things of the fruit of the Spirit. No. If I have Christ, all those things will come out as the time approaches, as those occasions arise in my life. All right, very quickly, let's finish up. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able, listen to this. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because sometimes we don't think it. And sometimes we don't ask it. But God is still able to do it. That's what the word of God is saying. Not me. I am so glad God said it. I would have never come up with this. Amen? Nor would anybody else. But this is God's plan. What a beautiful plan. That God is wanting to see to it in spite of ourselves. So he says, now unto him that is able, verse 20, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and that's the Holy Spirit, right? Unto him be glory in the church. What church? Unto him be glory in the church. Whose church? His, not ours or man's. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The church is important to God. And it must be important to the child of God, that we might understand that God has promised to empower his church for his honor and glory. And you know what? Look, who would have ever thought all this up? And God did, and performs it. Does that mean today he still performs? Amen. He still performs. And God's not done. Pray that God will build his church here at Northwood Baptist Church and all his churches. May God bless them all. But God has placed us here. May we not forget to pray for Northwood Baptist Church, that God would do a work. Let's not look at to what we can do. Let's look to what God wants to do in your life and mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and the understanding that you bring. And Lord, the guidance that you give and the power, Lord, that you desire to place and work through in our lives. I ask that you bless the rest of the evening, bless the young people in the youth program, bless the prayer time. And Lord, we ask that you build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.